Hello, hello. Hi, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning. Hey.
Morning.
Good. How are you? I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Hold on. Closing my doors. Is this better?
Yes. Hey. Welcome, Joy, Susan, Jane, Chantal, Tracy. Good morning, Chantal. How is everyone doing? Lisa, welcome. Okay, so I see some new faces, which is always exciting. If you don't know me yet, I am Jane Harrell. I am co-owner of Working with Dog, and I'm leading the Q&A today. So I'm super excited to meet our new members, and then obviously, we've got a lot of important stuff to talk about right now. A lot is going on, lots of different worries, and lots of different opportunities, too. So, for those of you who don't know me, just a little bit about my background. I've been in the pet space for 18 years now, and I'm just going to mute everyone. Here we go. I'm hearing some sound. So I'm just muting everyone, but feel free to turn on your camera, feel free to unmute yourself and speak up, or if you're feeling a little shy, you can write questions real time in the chat. Tracy, no worries, no camera or mic on this computer, that's fine. I love seeing people's faces, but it is totally up to you. But for our new members who may not know me yet, I am Jane Harrell, and I've been in the pet space for about 18 years now. I started boots on the ground, working at an animal shelter while going to college, and discovered kind of two things. One, I absolutely love pet people. I love this industry. I love people who are working to better the lives of pets and the people who love them. And then two, if I had another box of kittens thrown across the counter at me, I was just gonna scream and lose my mind. So I had to find another way to do it. And many of you have heard this story before, but I had this kind of light bulb moment one day when I was going across the street after a hard shift covered in every bodily fluid kind of known to animal care workers. And this guy at the local bar asks me, do you work around here? And I said, yeah, I work at the shelter across the street. And he looks me dead in the face and he says, there's a shelter across the street? And this was about, 15 years now ago. And I had the simultaneous moment of, oh my God, this is why we euthanize pets. And also, oh, this is something I can do something about, this awareness issue. So I actually went back to my school. I said, I want to be a communications professional for the cause and pet-based industry. And that's exactly what I've been doing ever since. I have been running the consumer strategy and marketing for organizations like PetFinder.com, Discovery, IDEX Laboratories, if you're familiar with them in the veterinary space. They're a $2 billion leader in the veterinary space. And my passion project started really about 4 years ago when I started Cause Digital Marketing, and a year after that bought into Working with Dog as a sister brand, because I love working with the little guys. I love working with local businesses, startups, new businesses. I've been training and educating organizations like pet trainers, pet photographers, dog walkers, pet sitters. I co-started a pet sitting business in New York City in 2009, in the middle of the downturn, with an ex. And I just love this space. I love working with you guys, and I love helping you thrive. So that's my background. I've been editor-in-chief of a number of different pet websites. Online publishing, online marketing, and online strategy is my jam. And as you, I'm sure, have fallen in love with Nick and I tend to play two very different roles here at Working with Dog, and it works really well. She is like big thinker, creative, brand strategist, helping you dive into what your why is, what's the core differentiation of your business. And then I'm the one who's like, okay, yes, but how do we get that done? What's the data that shows us how we can do that? How do we break this down into little steps? And how do we build up our teams to help make it easy and free up our time so we have more freedom and fulfillment in our own life? So any questions from new members? I see Tracy asked, where am I located? Right now, you see I'm in my sun porch at home in Maine, but Cause Digital Marketing is located all over the world. We have about 24 team members who all work from home and worked from home before all this, and they are experts in various areas of pet business marketing and digital marketing as well. So any other questions so far? I know that's a lot of info to throw at you guys. Okay, looks like we're good. So just a little bit of an overview for the new members here. Welcome, this is our first Q&A together. And this is your time to ask whatever you want. We love to, and I see a hands up, I will get to it in a second, thank you. We love to come here, brainstorm together, and we do ask all our questions together in this group style, because what we find at Working with Dog is that you guys learn so much from each other and help each other out as well. So I am gonna turn to Jane and say, Jane, I'll unmute you. Hello.
I just wanted to say hello. I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I'm really excited to be a part of this group, and I'm looking forward to working with you and everyone else as well. I figured out the chat feature. I'm new, and so I'm still figuring out, you know, the tools that you're offering and how this works. I did drop in, and I filled out the questionnaire, and I started my roadmap, and wow, I do have a lot of questions. But anyway, I just wanted to say good morning and start off that way.
Welcome. And Jane, tell us a little bit about your business.
Sure. It's called Wagworthy Naturals. I started the concept, or I started working on it about 2 years ago. I do healthy natural supplements for dogs. My background is in biochemistry and medical research, which I did early on in my career. That's what my degree is in. And I worked at the Colorado State University. I did research there, and I also did research at Rockefeller University in New York City, and also included my senior thesis was, my undergrad thesis was actually done at Harvard School of Public Health. So I had that background, and then I took this incredibly radical turn, and I ended up having a very successful photography career. And was getting bored with that. So started this business. I have one product out, it's launched, it's on Amazon. Just getting ready to launch. We have a kind of a placeholder website that we are selling off of, but I'm getting ready to launch the website itself. I've done Facebook ads, which I've struggled with. I've been able to convert, but I struggle with getting them to be profitable. You know, and out of the break-even space.
Yeah.
And I'm just really working on my branding. I love building community. I love collaboration. And I've been really active on Instagram, and I've had success with influencers. And I have a bunch of additional products that I'm getting ready to launch, but I wanted to get a lot of the building blocks in place before I feel like I'm in the deep end of the pool, but I wanted to get that in place before I swim out into the open ocean.
Good, good. And that's always a really good way to approach it when maybe finances are of concern.
Yes.
So Jane, I'm going to ask you to put your website, your product, and your Instagram in the chat.
Okay.
Here, we'd love it if you shared it. And anyone else who's new, please do. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to say all around. Hey, put your contact information. You guys check out each other, check out who's here. But new members, you know, call yourself out and say, hey, I'm new here. So Jane, welcome. And I'm thrilled to see another Jane here.
I'm the other Jane. And also the other thing I wanted to say is for those of you in the group that are photographers, feel free to reach out to me. I was very successful at increasing my average order value and offering new and unique products to my clients and doing fundraisers. And, you know, so I'm happy to, and I have some great suppliers that I've worked with. So I'm happy to share that information with anybody that is interested.
Wonderful. And Jane, put that in the Facebook group as well. We do have quite a lot of pet photographers here at Working with Dog. And when we share resources, when we share knowledge, you know, we all benefit. So thank you so much. You said you had lots of questions. If there was one kind of really burning one right now, what would it be?
So I started working on my avatars, and I used existing clients that I have relationships with because I know them as my avatars, just because I felt like that was a good jumping off point. And they're clients that are passionate about my brand.
Great.
When I wade into the, what TV shows do they watch? What, you know, kind of getting down more into the short and curlies, as you might say. That's a little, it stumps me a little bit, in part because I'm a bit cerebral and there's a lot of popular culture that I just don't participate in, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, I'm wondering, do I start surveying people? Do I just make it up and basically pull it out of my, you know, armpit?
Don't make it up. Don't make it up. It's always okay to guess, to have a theory. And then, I mean, you come from a science background and that really resonates with me. You'll hear me talk a lot about what does the data say and how do we validate these hypotheses. So it's fine to come up with a hypothesis, but go out, validate it, survey these people, ask. I love to give an incentive. Hey, you know, if you let me interview you or let a member of my team interview you for half an hour, then you get this, you know, thank you, whatever that may be. Maybe it's free product, maybe it's a little bit of time, maybe, you know, whatever is easy for you, but high value for them.
Okay.
And, you know, this is an area where a lot of pet businesses just kind of, they get a little scared, so they avoid it completely. You know, it's like that area in the room, the elephant in the room that you're not looking at. Mm-hmm. And this is also where they miss a lot of opportunity, because one of the best ways to actually save time, you mentioned that you've already seen some success with other influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Everyone in Working with Dog, every single one of your clients, anyone you can network with, and this actually brings us to the LinkedIn topic today, but every single person that you can network with to grow your audience, to grow your reach with that target customer, that will save you money. One of the reasons why Facebook ads so often fail as far as profitability for pet businesses is people dive in and they say, okay, I'm going to target exactly who I want my customer to be and bring them from cold to purchase in the span of one Facebook ad. Well, that's not going to happen, or it very rarely happens. And if it does happen, it is typically after quite a lot of impressions and quite a lot of money dumped into that ad campaign. Some ways that you can break that down are by instead helping them get through kind of this classic sales funnel from who are you and why should I care, to why should I trust you and pay attention, to why should I purchase now. Those are kind of the three core questions that getting anyone to act, getting anyone to, whether it's purchase or give you an email address or even respond to your survey, are very important. But without knowing these little details about who your target customer is and what they like, you there might be things that you have easy access to be doing that don't cost money, like Facebook ads, that instead are much more effective in answering mm-hmm. those three questions for your core audience. So yes, absolutely go out, create a hypothesis if you want, but I would survey members, and we actually have quite a bit of good content around creating surveys, and you have a science background, so I am sure that you will go way above and beyond. So maybe pull yourself back a little bit, be okay with some uncertainty there, but definitely go out, try to understand these and answer these questions, and using your existing customers who you really like to work with is a fantastic way to start, because that's essentially, you know, if you go with existing customers and you kind of say, well, I don't really want to work with these people anymore, then why are you targeting them? Why are you paying attention to them? I have a lot of petpreneurs who come and say that and will do the avatar exercise for someone they just want to get off their plate. But if these are people that you really find are passionate about your brand, who really enjoy your products and can be advocates for you, awesome.
Okay, great. Okay. And where would we find the, you said you have a lot of survey?
Yes, so let me take a quick peek, 1 second. So, and Joy, I see you, I will get to you next. Thank you for your patience here. So 1 second. And if anyone is a new member and has not yet watched the overview of where everything is on WordPress.org, it's on your login page. Just scroll down and it's a video walkthrough that I did of where everything is and how to find things on the site, how to navigate things. I know that otherwise it can be super overwhelming because there's literally 4 years of different marketing lessons that have been jam-packed into the site already that you're coming into. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna come up with that survey content and post it to the Facebook group after this Q&A. Because I don't want to take everyone's time with me searching. Okay, great. So Jane, does that help with the most burden?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And where in Maine are you?
I am about 30 minutes outside of Portland in Biddeford. Are you in the neighborhood? Oh no, you said you're in
San Diego. No, but my grandparents were maniacs and my brother went to school there. And anyway,
It's a good place. I'm originally from New York City and never thought I'd be moving north of Massachusetts after school, but here I am and it works for me. I love it. So, okay. Joy. And you guys, you don't have to raise your hands. You can just speak out too. Feel free. Feel free to unmute yourself, but there, Joy, I just unmuted you.
Hey, Jane, how are you?
Good, I'm great. It's great to see you.
Good. So I have a general question, and I do apologize that I'm multitasking because I'm supposed to be working at the same time, but whatever. Obviously, with this situation, it's really tough for photographers like me who we do IPS, we do individual clients, thinking about, you know, how to diversify the business or how to weather the storm. And given, I think if I got your dates right, you would have been in business during the last financial crash and when excess money was not available. So would just love to hear about your experiences about how you made it through that one.
Absolutely. So the 2008 crash, I was still in the corporate world, actually. However, I did... I moved back to New York during that time and helped start a dog walking business from scratch in 2009, which was when everyone was kind of out of work and scrambling. And at the same time in 2009, I got my dream job, which was my job at petfinder.com as their blog and social media manager which I spent the next few years after that working my way up to the ranks to be the head of consumer strategy and marketing there. So running one of the world's largest pet websites. How did that happen? Because really the last crash was a huge opportunity for me. I could not have achieved those things had that crash not happened. And this is where, you know, I hear so much fear and so much uncertainty. And we're going to talk about that because there are things that practically, you know, we need to be paying attention to. But when taken as an opportunity with kind of cautious strategy in how to grow your business, how to do things, a downturn can actually be your opportunity every 10 years to change your entire business in ways that never would be possible during an economic boom. And here's the reason. Time. No one has time to do anything during an economic boom. You know, everyone is running around trying to get everything done, growing the business like crazy, sometimes raking in the cash, sometimes not, because a lot of costs are much higher during economic booms. So my experience in 2008 was I was working for a firm doing marketing, and realizing, well, you know, I've kind of outgrown this job. I love the place, I love the people, have good relationships, but I'm ready to move on. And then the crash happened, and I was working in an area where other firms like mine were laying off 80% of their staff, which is fairly typical in marketing. You know, marketing's the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. You almost always see people hire and fire quickly. So with that, I just realistically said, well, I'm probably going to be laid off because I work in a two-person marketing team and the other person is bringing in 90% of the revenue for the company. So they're not going to get rid of her. They're going to get rid of me if they have to cut our team. And I looked at really kind of answering three core questions or four core questions. One, am I going to be financially okay if this happens? What's the way that I can in advance try to make sure that I can sleep at night? And those of you like you who know me fairly well, I have like zero tolerance for uncertainty. I'm a planner. I'm like, I must know how to pay the mortgage a year out. Nick, on the other hand, is, you know, very different in this. And there, I want to emphasize, there is a judgment-free zone here at Working with Dog. Your level of comfort is really your own. And there's not a better way to do it. There's not a worse way to do it. For me, if I don't know that I can eat and pay my mortgage, I can't sleep. And if I can't sleep, I can't get anything done and I'm no good to anyone. So being able to understand how I was going to financially make those things work was the first and most important question for me to answer. Then I figured out, oh, well, okay, if I just cut a few expenses here, if I work on these other things, if I can assume that I'm going to make some kind of unemployment here in the US to help, you know, bring something in, which, you know, we're moving to various things. If you guys have not checked out the Financial Resources for Petpreneurs article, here, I'm going to put this in the chat.
And by the way, thank you for adding Canada to that list, because I was like, oh, they didn't do Canada.
Well, we added it, and we are literally adding things every single day to this list. One thing that the Cause Digital team does is we go through all the kind of trending news topics in the pet and business space every single day. And as we identify more resources, we're adding it real time to this list. So do come back and check frequently. So going back to kind of the four things that helped during the last downturn. One, can I financially, you know, be okay with this picture in front of me? Can I make it possible for myself to sleep? Whatever your tolerance threshold is there. Two, what's my customer's new landscape? And I put this in petpreneur language, but coming from the corporate space, it was really, you know, what's the landscape for my dream job? The people who I really want to hire me, where do they get their information? What are they struggling with? What's going on in their business right now? And how can I get in front of them? So one thing that I did was I realized I really want to start working with deep animal welfare organizations again. So I got laid off. I said thank you to that firm. I filed for unemployment, and I immediately, next stop, stopped at the animal shelter where I'd worked through college. And I said, I want to volunteer for you guys again, but I do not want to volunteer as an animal care worker like I did before, or as I was working before. I want to volunteer in the field that I do. So I want to do communications and marketing for you. And they said, thank you, God. Absolutely. And I started doing that, and I did that for several months. What I was doing simultaneously was just very sparingly looking for only the opportunities that I really wanted to do. And one came up, and I looked and saw it was with petfinder.com. I knew that the volunteer manager who I was actually working directly with used to work for petfinder.com. I called her up, and within 2 days had an interview. And ended up turning around and getting my dream job in less than 6 months after getting laid off after the 2008 crash. That job then brought me to New York, and my partner at the time said she wanted her dream job, which to her was creating a dog walking business. So she and I went back and we asked those questions. How do we make sure that we eat, that we're financially comfortable enough to meet our threshold? Okay, what's our customer's new landscape? Where are they getting their information? What are their struggles? So at that time, a lot of people were, again, at home. They were unemployed. They were struggling. So there were a lot fewer people who could pay for daily dog walking. So she ended up really focusing in on pet sitting and enrichment walking at the time, because a lot of people just didn't really know how to enrich or keep their dogs happy when their dogs are sitting home all day. And she took a lot of one-off clients to start her business and to start building referrals. And then number three, so make sure you're financially stable enough. Two, consider your customer's new landscape. Three, get the day-to-day out of the way. And one of the big reasons why I say this is we have a lot of excuses when we hit up against something kind of fearful or new. We very often find busy work to do. We very often suddenly, you know, find that laundry or dishes or creating the very perfect newsletter or blog are so much more important. And realistically, right now, digital marketing has never been more important for pet businesses. So your blogs, your social media posts, your newsletters, yes, those are incredibly important, but think about how to get those out of the way. I actually just launched and we're doing our first ever course on getting 6 months of marketing content done in 3 weeks or less because of this, because I saw a lot of petpreneurs kind of sitting on their laurels saying, I don't really know what to do. I'm feeling really uncertain. How do I move forward? And then struggling to get that day to day out of the way. So whatever is you're getting hooked up on, get that out of the way. Find some way to move it forward and use each other here to say, I keep, getting blocked here. And then four, think big. What's been on the back burner in your business forever? What are those projects that if you didn't have to get paid to do your job, you would be doing? Now's the time to do them. Now's the time to think about them. And I'm actually going to ask everyone to just take a few minutes and write a list. All time, you know, 60 seconds. Write a list. What are the things that your clients have been asking for?
And while people are doing that, maybe I could just two quick follow-ups. One is, Nick mentioned to me, is there a half day or a full day webinar coming up for Working Dog members? I don't know if you can, I don't know where the details are about that. And two, the one thing that's stopping me on the getting the day-to-day out of the way is it feels like we can't talk about our businesses while all this crisis is going on. And I don't know if you, from a marketing perspective, how do you be sensitive to that while still saying, hey, we're still open for business and it's got nothing to do with.
Great question. Yeah. So let me tackle the first one first. That's easy. So April 9th, I'm doing a full day implementation day. And these days are all about getting shit done. Pardon my French, but it is all about, this one is focusing on audience building, online audience building. How do you grow a channel full of your audience and develop those relationships so that they can already have the, who are you and why should I care? Why should I trust you and pay attention? Get those questions answered so that you have a ready-made funnel for conversions and for sales. So we'll be focusing that on that on April 9th. The page for it is right here. Let me pull it up. Okay, I believe this is published, but forgive me if it is not. Can someone open that link and let me know?
Page not found.
Okay, hold on. We are getting ready to publish everything for April right now, but I'm just going to go ahead and publish this for you. There we go. So that is publishing right now. If you refresh the link, it should open up for you. Do not save the join Zoom meeting yet. I haven't double checked to make sure, but it has the right date, right time, and focus of what that full day workshop is. And that is included within your Working with Dog membership. So please, please, if you have the ability to set aside that day, it's going to be 8 amazing hours. So really focused on getting things done to grow your audience and get in front of those people. To your second question, you were talking about blocker and kind of the fear of talking about your business. And I love this question because we are so, especially as female entrepreneurs, you know, we are taught that to take up space, to talk about ourselves and to talk about our businesses can be a shameful thing. And it is hard enough in the day to day to confront that. Now compound that with the fact that people are dying. Oh my God, you're a terrible person, right?
Yeah.
But you're not. But you're not. Tell me about how you have thought about talking about your business and letting people know that you're still open and how you're dealing with this crisis.
So for me, I mean, because I do one-on-one, I figure my business is shut down till fall because we're under self-isolation and quarantine and all stuff. So that's fine. So in the blog and my newsletter, I tried to bring in, because my brand is about connecting with nature, I tried to bring in either good news stories and say, you know, it's stressful times, here's some good news, or instructional stuff about how to keep safe, but not really talk about what I do. It's more to the brand and the brand pillars without actually talking about photography.
Why?
I don't know. That's why I'm here.
So I want to give you a challenge, Joy. I want to challenge you to drop some information about who you are and how to hire you in every single one of your blog posts.
Okay.
And that does not mean having a big, you know, H2 in the middle of your blog post that's like, please hire me now. You do not need to do that. One of the ways that you can talk about and raise awareness about who you are and what you do and how you actually make money is by relying on those brand pillars and telling more of your story. Talking about your experiences as a photographer, talking about why going out into nature really resonates with you. And that will do two things. That will really help you stand out and seem authentic, while at the same time letting people know how to hire you. Mm-hmm. I like to talk about things that have actually worked for my business, or things that I've learned in my business. And I would absolutely come to the implementation day, because there are more ways that we're going to work on this more deeply. But I think doing a blog post about how you're dealing with the isolation and how having a very face-to-face business has been changed for you. Maybe talk about why you wanted a face-to-face business, why you chose doing this kind of photography, and how social isolation may either be really kind of testing you or teaching you new things that you never thought about before. Mm-hmm. By bringing in those genuine stories, what I think you'll find is that there are a lot of people who will resonate and who are having kind of similar feelings, if not the same experience as you. But don't shy away from the fact that you get paid to do these things. And you can talk about those experiences and talk about why you created certain products or why you made certain choices in your business to help raise awareness about who you are, what you do, how they hire you. And for the next 6 months, I would just knuckle down on audience building,
right,
with you. You know, I want you to come out of the next 6 months with, you know, thousands of people clamoring to hire you as soon as you open your doors again. And the way that you do that is bring them in, tell compelling stories, stun them with your work, but be authentic. And it sounds like Jane may have something to add in here as well. Jane, speak up. Hold on one sec. I'm going to unmute you.
I'm unmuting myself.
Thank you.
For those of you that are photographers in the group, I'm going to drop in a list of things into the Facebook chat of suggestions and things that you could work on now that will help you not only build your imagery and skills, but also build your audience as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. Great, both of you. Thank you both. And great ideas. Yeah, that gives me a lot of ideas for blog posts in my next couple newsletters, because this thing is going to keep going at least for 3 months. So it's not going to fade quickly.
Right. Great. And thinking back to considering how your customers' landscape has changed, several of you are B2C. Many of you are also B2B, or you have B2B sides of your business. Business has changed, and finding ways. One of our members just came out with a new list of 5 different ways to boss your photography during quarantine for pet businesses. And I love this. I think this is brilliant. And it's tips for basically how pet businesses can do this stuff at home while everyone's under quarantine, without their brand image and without their brand aesthetics really just kind of tanking during this time. So thinking about what are the challenges that they're going to be facing over the next several months, and how might you just leverage your expertise to make that a little bit easier for them? Another good example of that is the fact that Cause Digital does research every single day. So because we're doing market research every single day, we do this weekly newsletter. And if you're not already following it, definitely sign up for it. We do a Tuesday Trends newsletter where we talk about here are the top trends that people are talking about in the pet or consumer space right now. And here are some tips for how, as petpreneurs, you can take and talk about this in your own business to your own audience. And then because we do that research every single day, compiling that list around financial resources wasn't very hard for us. So, but is incredibly valuable and has gone viral actually in the pet space. So what are those simple ways that you can use your own expertise and things that are simple for you to really make a difference for them? And that will help build that trust, build that audience, and build that sales funnel for as soon as you're opening your doors again. Let's see. So I
have a question.
Yeah. Genevieve, welcome.
Yes. I don't have my my video on because it's lagging. I'm maybe too far. I don't know. okay. So I have a question about Instagram.
About what?
Instagram.
Yes.
I have two accounts. One is personal and the other one is for my pet photography. And I know that Nick, sorry for my English. she told us that we should maybe merge both of them so we can show personality into our business. Mm. So, but I didn't do it yet. So I'm still having two accounts and I'm doing a 365 project. And doing this since the beginning of the year, I just realized that my day-to-day images fits perfectly with my brand on pet photography. Awesome. So now I'm wondering how can I do the merging, or you know, just telling people that I'm gonna move this kind of work to my pro page, mm-hmm. and still keeping my personal page, but for more things like my running marathon or yoga, or you know, more really really more personal stuff. So is there a way to do it without I don't know, like losing everyone? Or yeah,
so how many people do you have on each audience, on each phone?
Personal is like 200, is it 200?
Yeah.
Okay, 200. So the other one on my pro is 12,000.
Great. More and you're than worried about the personal, moving people from the personal over to the business?
Yeah, only for the, because my day-to-day pictures for my 365 project, I realized that I do almost just nature because I do like plants, squirrel, birds and stuff. And my pet brand is all around nature and connection with nature and stuff like this, and the colors are the same, the textures are the same, so it fits perfectly with my brand. So great. I just want to move this on my pro page.
Great. I would just keep it simple. So okay. This is one of those things that just don't overthink it. Let people know, maybe create a graphic that you can use, like pixels. Or there are Canva templates that you can do where you just create a quick graphic that says, FYI, you know, here we're about to change. And you post that to your personal page, post it to your brand page, and just talk about this journey and talk about why you're making this shift. And say, if you follow me over here, please, you know, migrate over there. But since you're only talking about 200 people and you already have 12,000 over there, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Okay. And just one last question about the same thing. I'm now publishing all my birds and squirrel and flowers and whatever on my pro account only on in stories, and I put them in the highlights. Mm-hmm. So do you think it's a good way to make the transition, like keeping only the squirrels with the pets in the images and putting the plants and the birds on in the highlights?
So have you looked at our Instagram visual strategy?
I don't think so, because I joined like last week and I was in last year. So I lost like a few months.
Here, I want you to jump over here. I'm including a resource that we pulled together on how to create an Instagram visual story and strategy. And I would start there, create the kind of layout for posting that you're thinking of doing, and then come back to either next week. I have office hours, which for folks who are new, office hours are a 24-hour period on Facebook where there will be a post that goes up that basically says, ask me anything. I am here. I am willing to do some research, willing to actually even dive into your data if you want to give me access to your website or access to any of your analytics. And ask me a specific question about it, of course, completely confidentially. But you can come back to those office hours, ask anything, say, hey, can you take a peek at this? Can you give me some feedback for ways to improve this visual strategy, or ways to resonate or better hashtags, whatever it is. You can ask whatever you want. You have 24 hours to make that post, to ask that question. And within those 24 hours, I will get back to you. Alternately, there is a live one-hour workshop every month. So the first and third week of every month, I have my office hours. The second week and every month, Nick does her workshop hour, where she's sitting there live at the computer. And if you send her something, she will live workshop it with you in the Facebook group. Or, of course, we can always do that here during the Q&A as well. So if you bring that visual strategy to any of those three things, to office hours, workshop hour, or the next Q&A, we can workshop it together. And those are always on Thursdays, just so you guys know.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely, Genevieve. And welcome. And you guys, so for the newbies, for the folks who have come back, I'm so glad to see you guys back. If you don't already know, these are your times to ask anything. We may have a theme each month. We may have something that we're expecting to talk about. And I typically bring some resources that I'm kind of like, hey, make sure that you don't miss this. And I definitely have a list of those for you today. But you can ask whatever is burning, whatever is really kind of top of mind. And we can screen share. We can look at your websites together. We can look at your properties together. And brainstorm solutions together. So whatever you need, we are here for you. Just catching up on some of the questions. I love seeing everyone's properties and their links. So Tracy asks, is there another meeting at 1 p.m. today as well? Nancy is your partner, she just joined. Welcome, Nancy, and Nick is doing a live webinar on marketing during the downturn today. So I believe that is at 1. So definitely tune into that if you have time. It is a really, really timely topic. Susan Schmitz says, I have a couple quick questions about pulling together an online course about how to license images online to build up residual income. Nice. Is this a suitable question for this chat? Absolutely. Like I said, any questions that you have, one of the things that I talk about quite a bit is plannable income. And the way that I think about plannable income is, how do you make sure that you are setting up products, services, offerings in your business so that you know a few months down the line you're going to have that plannable income so that you can invest in your business. As petpreneurs, our income often kind of looks like this. You know, we're on this income roller coaster, and that may be based on certain times of year where you're especially busy. That may be based on certain kinds of products or promotions that you do. But one of the things that I really like to work on with people is things like membership sites, things like subscription services, things like packages where you're paying, people are paying you monthly fees or quarterly fees so that you know that you are going to have certain amounts of income. And the reason why I like to talk about that so much is, as I said, it is one of the best and most secure ways to scale, and also best and most secure ways to help you feel emotionally like you can get some stuff off your plate and delegate, which is all about building more freedom and fulfillment into your personal life, even during a downturn. So Susan, definitely ask those questions. Okay, Jane, you were looking for a link for cause marketing. Oh, thank you for Mar, who put it in. And let's see, so office hours. So the 1 p.m. presentation that Nick's doing is Eastern time. So 1 p.m. Eastern time. So it should be shortly after this call. And Lisa says, I have a question about how to best use this downtime given my business and brand is brand new. Lisa, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Hi, yeah. And I'll go ahead and be brave and put on my video. Hi everyone. So I'm a dog trainer and I do that business with my husband. We started it in January. We have had literally one client so far. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. We did a consultation with that client. Everything went really great. And, they were like, can we start in May? It had nothing to do with coronavirus at that time. They're like, we just need, we got family coming in out of town. So now we definitely can't start till May. But we're pretty much doing mostly marketing type stuff now, brand building stuff right now anyway. And so it seems like in a lot of the materials you guys have been sending out that was the recommended focus. Like, hey, you know, you can't be with clients right now anyway, so make use of this time by doing that. But I also have been noticing as I, you know, work here at my front window and see tons of people walking their dog for the first time ever in my neighborhood, that, you know, I see a lot of people are spending more time with their dog. And I can only imagine that by virtue of that, they are noticing some of the things that they wanted to work on with training, but just, you know, didn't have time before, or they're realizing their dog pulls on leash because they never walk their dog. And I kind of feel like this might be a good time to try and actually push to get clients. Mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, kind of to Joy's point earlier, I think it was Joy, you know, I want to do it in a way that's sensitive and it's not, you know, like taking advantage of the situation, but more like, hey, the silver lining is you have all this time now. Maybe this is a good time to work on this.
Absolutely. Love it. And so I would think about a couple things. One, if you are helping them solve a problem, you are not being pushy. You're not being intrusive. You are not being overly self-promotional. You are helping them solve a problem. And so keep in mind, so when I started out in this industry, I was not in sales. I was not in marketing. I was not in communications. I was going to school as an English major and working at an animal shelter as an adoption counselor. So marketing, communication, sales was not like my favorite thing to do in the world. And frankly, the hard sell is something that I hate to do. I don't do it.
Same.
Frankly. What I have found is, and Nick is right there with me on this, is there are certain psychological ways that we as women, as entrepreneurs, are taught not to be pushy. Right? You know, and we don't have to be the shark or the lion or the one who's like, I'm out here to make $1 million or to be the best, or, you know, I don't like working with those people. I don't know about you, but yeah. I think we have this culture here at Working with Dog where it's like the anti-marketing, you know, we don't really enjoy working with those kinds of people who think that they're the best and don't really consider other people. But then we find so much time and so many reasons to kind of avoid being that, yeah. that we actually don't take the time to help recognize that we have something of value to offer. And what I hear is that you're recognizing that you have something of value to offer right now. And if you can help get in front of people and start raising awareness of your business and maybe doing some online consultations,
yeah.
because of that, then yes, absolutely. Right now might be a great time to start growing some of your business.
Yeah.
And what I would think about for you is how can you start getting in front of people so that they pay attention? Right now is actually a great time to get in front of people so they pay attention because we all have time and there are just massive loads of people on social media mm-hmm. and searching for solutions and searching for all kinds of things. So to be able to get that kind of share of mind space as we talk about is easier than ever. If you come up with a concept of here's the way that I'm going to draw people in, and maybe that's a free webinar talking about here are some of the challenges that I'm seeing in my neighborhood. And I would actually start with it locally.
Yeah.
If you're doing online consultations, obviously you can do that anywhere. But if you're speaking to a local audience about their own community, they're much more likely to listen. So it's yeah. low-hanging fruit for you. So where are you located, Lisa?
I'm in Waco, Texas.
Waco. Okay, great. So if you talk about, hey, I'm out to help the Waco dogs weather the quarantine with their people even better. And here are some things that I'm noticing. And do some kind of free way to get people in the door, get people paying attention, whether that's an e-newsletter, some kind of online party that you could do. You could set up an online Zoom and have crazy dog people come together and, you know, drink or do whatever you want. Make it fun, make it enticing, make it something that we're all craving right now.
Yeah.
And then help solve that problem. Talk to people. What are the things that you're being challenged by? What are the ways that living with your dog, you're expecting to have challenges when you go back out? I hear a lot of dog trainers talking about separation anxiety and the kind of anticipation that once everyone goes back to work, we're going to see this boom of separation anxiety cases.
Totally.
So are there ways that you can do that to get people's attention and then say, oh, by the way, I'm offering this, you know, consultation package where it's 6 sessions of online consultations over the next 6 weeks while you're in quarantine. And during that time, because this is the first time I've ever offered it, I'm offering it at a price that I would not typically offer it at.
Yeah.
And give them, you know, some kind of discount or some kind of added incentive to buy now. And that can feel icky. doing that, like, oh, you only have 72 hours left. I'm only offering this to 10 people. But the thing to keep in mind there is that we live in a world where we are bombarded, and this number is probably much higher now that we're all online 24/7, but we are bombarded by 3,000 marketing messages every single day.
Yeah.
We live in a world of overwhelm and clutter. So what people do every single day is they see something and they say, oh, wow, yeah, that's great. I would love to do that. That would really solve my problem. Unless you give them a reason to get off the fence, and unless you give them a reason to act now, which is typically pressing on things like scarcity, fear of missing out, or some kind of time-bound incentive, what they're going to do is they're going to open it up on a tab and say, yep, I'm going to do that later. And then they close the computer or they go on to the next thing and that tab never gets used. And I have seen this happen so many times. I have done the market research. Jane, hopefully your ears are perking there. I've done the market research with the team and we have literally recorded people doing that. So
I do it.
I do it all the time.
Yep, absolutely. So being able to give people that reason to act right now is really critical. And the way I like to think about it is, you know what? Otherwise, they're not going to get the help that they need.
Yeah.
So does that help, Lisa?
Yeah, a lot. And I didn't even really think about the concept of, you know, doing a free event or something to sort of kickstart interest. And I was just thinking, oh, I'll just, you know, put together a postcard and send it around my neighborhood. But you know, that is really giving them, you know, a taste of what we can offer to solve their problems. And I like that.
Absolutely. And you can do both. I mean, the postcard is great, but even doing a Facebook ad right now, what we're actually seeing is that Facebook ads, the rates are really, really low. We haven't seen these rates this low in over 4 years. And it's because everyone, all the big companies that are all spending most of the time and driving those ad rates up have stopped spending because they don't know what to do right now. You know, they've basically all freezed their budget. And because they are so big and so unwieldy, it takes them so much longer. And Susan, you can appreciate this. It takes them so much longer to turn around. This is a huge advantage that you have over any of those big competitors. This is not something that like PetSmart dog training is going to be able to do in the next 24 hours. This is something you can.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So Susan, okay, if you have the ability to turn on your video or chime in. You there, Susan?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, yes. Welcome.
Thank you. So I actually have a class online right now, but I really need to redo it after learning a lot about online classes. I know exactly what I need to be switching up and making it a lot more simple and streamlined. And I really like the platform that you guys are using for the Find Your Magic course. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple questions on just different platforms for this whole like funnel thing and all that. So, and the course itself, are you using a WordPress plugin or are you doing Thinkific?
So the Find Your Magic, and this is super confusing, I'm aware, but Nick and I, the way we work our businesses is we each own a separate business and then we co-own Working with Dog.
Okay.
Now, to confuse it even more, Nick comes and works for my business frequently. So she's actually our senior brand strategist for Cause Digital Marketing. So, you know, we are intertwined in all the weird different ways. So, Find Your Magic is a J. Nicole Smith course.
Okay. Alex.
And so she'd be able to answer anything that they're doing over there. When you're talking about platforms for courses, I am pretty familiar with a lot of different options, but Nick and, Tracy actually, who's a member of our Working with Dog team, Tracy's our web developer and can answer any technical questions about those platforms as well. And those questions are actually best asked on Facebook because she can just hop in and answer them for you.
Okay. Well then, so just some real quick questions about platforms with the funnel.
Yeah.
So if I want to, I'm thinking about doing like a 7-day email series, maybe with some video clips in them with some real quick tips on how to get started in image licensing and the different ways to diversify that and different outlets for it. So is MailChimp, do you think, a good resource for doing that?
How big is your list?
It's small. It's only like 250 right now.
MailChimp.
Okay. So, and then Loom, like putting Loom clips on there. Do you ever use Loom?
I haven't used Loom. I've seen different reviews. Has anyone else here used Loom? Just asking the group.
Wondering. I don't see anything on their site about how long those little video clips can be. So if anybody knows the answer to that.
Oh, looks like other Jane has used Loom. Jane, any?
Oh, I think she's muted.
Oh, let's unmute you. I'm having trouble.
I've used Loom. I don't know exactly what it is that you're trying to record, but I've used Loom to record short. Are you teaching people sharing your screen?
Sharing the screen, just doing like little 5-minute clips or something.
Oh, Loom would be really easy to use for that.
Okay, great. Yeah. And then my last question, because I'm taking up too much time, is I want to include some worksheets. So like the worksheets that you did, like this, oh, this isn't yours, but you're familiar with these sort of things.
Yeah.
Is it best to try and do these in like Photoshop, or is it?
So what's your comfort level with design technology?
Yeah, I'm more of a photographer than a designer.
Yeah. Are you, so you're familiar with Photoshop. Are you familiar with Illustrator?
Yeah.
Illustrator?
I'm not great in it, but yes.
Illustrator can be a great platform to work in for those worksheets. I personally, not coming from the design side, coming from the publishing side, tend to use Publisher instead, and one other. I'm blanking on it right now, but for folks who are not comfortable with things like Photoshop or Illustrator, I'll get the name of the publishing software that I use and publish it after, during our or in our Facebook group. You can also remember that you can go super simple. And if these are not things that you're printing, if these are things that will just be seen digitally, things like Canva, canva.com is super simple and easy for non-designers to use to create just simple layouts. They have a lot of different free templates that you can just take and use. And then also I use the Google Slide Builder as well frequently. I've seen a lot of people just spend way too much money and way too much time on making these things perfect. And this is one of those cases where I say perfect is really the enemy of good enough. You need to focus on getting it out, getting it done. It does not need to be perfect. And as long as it's not pixelated, and as long as it is consistent with your brand and your styles, you're good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, looks like lots of people are saying Canva is awesome. And for you new members, if you're not aware, we do have Canva templates for social media shares that you can take, you can use, you can add your own logos to, you can change out the photography if you want. And I'm going to share a link to the March ones, but the April ones are just about to come out. So let's see, 1 second. So I just shared a link and I am actually going to share my screen and show you guys this because it is so important and so, so valuable for anyone who doesn't want to or doesn't have the design style mindset. So each month in the delivery of content, we create 3 social media templates. Now, actually, because we're creating 3 new ones each month, there are 6 in there for each month at this point. And these are the ones for March, but like I said, first Wednesday of each month, the next month's templates come out. And what we do is we create the templates. You can come in, you can edit it on Canva. So come over here, just click Use Template. And then you can even just upload your own logo. You can change the text. You can get rid of the little icons or not. We have a few different photo options for each one. As you can see, National Peanut Butter Day was this past month. And if you use the icons, Canva is going to ask you to pay, I think, $1 per image to download them. So if you don't want that extra fee, you can just take this and delete the little icons in there, and the images are otherwise completely free and licensed for your use. So you are okay to go in and grab them. But this goes to one of the primary message points that I talk about here a lot. And it's that as petpreneurs, we are so often faced with this urge to be everywhere, do everything, be everything to everyone. And the best thing that you can do for your business is say no. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be everywhere. I'm not going to do everything. I'm not going to be everything to everyone. And a big reason for that is, again, time, but also brand differentiation. We are geniuses at various things, but we cannot be geniuses at everything. We cannot be the best at everything. So by realistically saying, like, this is my jam, this is my little corner of the world, and let's find ways for my little corner of the world and your little corner of the world to work better and then increase both of our corners of the world, that's one of the best, most cost-effective ways to grow your business and really keep your costs down. So you see every single day an example of that here at Working With Dog, where Nick and I, we met on a client project where we were both helping a brand and a pet business get better and soar. She and I kind of looked across the aisle at each other and went, you're the yin to my yang. You do all the stuff that I hate to do. And we both had this experience, and because of both of us coming in and being really specialized in our area of genius and open to working with each other, that client within a month of launch saw 150% increase in sales. So keep in mind that you do not need to be everywhere. You do not need to do everything. And a big part of that urge is on social media. So many of us feel like we have to be on every single social media channel, doing everything, getting out in front of everyone all the time. No, absolutely not. Here, I really push that you guys start with one, maybe two social media channels. If you're not sure which ones, definitely do the steps in the roadmap that help you determine which ones are best for your business. And then three, you know, really focus on growing an audience to a sizable audience to grow that funnel for you on that one channel. But don't worry about all of your content always being perfect. And that's why we create these social media templates for you. They're great. They're high quality. Any pet business can kind of take whichever one or two really resonate for you, your business each month. Those are two posts you don't have to worry about, or three posts you don't have to worry about every single month. And you can spend your time focusing on what's really going to move that needle for you. Okay. So I did promise that we would talk about LinkedIn today. We did talk a little bit about the different ways to get yourself, the four different ways to get yourself and your business in a good position during the downturn. But I gave each of you an assignment. And I wanted to hear, what are the things that your clients have been asking for? Did you guys each write that down? Any brave souls? I promise not to do hot seats today. Yes, Jane.
Sorry. I think my clients would really like me to launch some new products.
Why? What kind of products?
So I only currently have one product out on the market, which is a hip and joint supplement. And I've had customers and followers say, do you carry this? Do you offer this? I would buy it from you. I would buy anything you offered. And I'm just not quite there yet and ready to do that.
Okay.
But that's something I know that my followers would like.
That's great. So thinking about that, thinking about especially which are the ones that people are asking for most often, but then on the business side, looking at what's the profitability margin.
Mm-hmm.
For each of those. This is something that so many product-based organizations don't quite get right at first, and then they start to scale and they go, oh my God, I can't handle this, because they didn't have their profit margins and their pricing in a scalable place. Mm-hmm. In the beginning. So thinking about, you know, if you're retail trying to get your profit margin at least about 70%, of what your COGS, cost of goods sold.
Uh-huh.
So that you have
margin at 70% of your COGS, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, of your price point. So if your product costs $100, your cost of goods sold should be about 30%, $30.
Yeah, okay.
The rest, the $70 extra for each product sold will go to overhead, will go to taxes, will go to everything else that takes running your business.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So looks like Tracy says, don't have any clients yet. We're just launching and we're looking for a photographer for our next stage. Well, Tracy, you've got a lot of wonderful photographers in this group. Definitely post in the Facebook group as well and let people know, because this is a great place with a lot of world-class photographers. Let's see, Tracy, moving north. Okay, Michelle says, I'm in a weird place trying to shift the clients I am attracting. So I have to change what I provide to match those I want to attract. Yes, it's a good time for me to work on this while I'm not doing in-person training, absolutely. So Michelle, tell us a little bit about the challenges that you're facing with that. If you're brave or have a mic. You're muted if you... Oh, mic's not working. Okay, Michelle, you can write a little bit about it if you want to talk about it. Otherwise, definitely come to my office hours next week and let's talk more about that in depth. But when you're thinking about shifting your client base, one thing that I want to point out to everyone, and this is something that one of my own mentors gave me here. Okay. So imagine your business is this four square, right? So when you're thinking about shifting your product or your expertise or what you're known for, think about this. So say, for example, you're known for dog training in Virginia, but you want to be known as a dog writer nationally. So here we have you know, this is where you currently sit. The O is where you currently are. The X is where you want to be. Most people, when they're shifting their business to new clients, to new services, really want to go the straight line, right? But what a lot of people don't realize is that it's actually easier for most people to make the shift one way or the other first. So instead of trying to go like this and go from dog training in Virginia to dog riding nationally, it's easier for most businesses to shift by going dog training nationally and then to riding, or dog training to dog riding in Virginia and then nationally. That is typically one of the best and easiest ways for folks to help bring along and adjust the understanding of those that you work with. Because one of the things that a lot of us who have been in business for a long time really hit up against is still being thought of as the thing that you did 15 years ago. I have been teaching social media and social media marketing to small businesses for more than 15 years at this point. And there are still a lot of people, because that's where I started out, who think that that's all that I do. What they don't realize is that now, hey, I write for all these national magazines. I'm the editor-in-chief of these platforms that have 60,000 followers. I run four successful small businesses and do so much more, but I'm still thought of in that area. So if you are shifting people, I'd think about that foursquare for you and think about, who are you working with now? How are they thinking of you? What are they doing? And then which is the way that you're going to shift more easily? So you say, Michelle says, I do dog behavior work. I'm attracting clients not in line with my ethics, which is very draining. Absolutely, Michelle, I get that. And let's also talk about your pricing strategies, because what you may find is that, ethics is a tough one. When it's ethics, I typically just stay away. But there are some clients that Cause Digital works with, and I call them my cowboys very lovingly, where I know that if I take on more than one of these clients at any given time, I'm gonna be flat out. They're the kinds of clients who take the most work. But what I find is that I really enjoy working with them. So when I was thinking about shifting my business and really building a lot more freedom and fulfillment into my own life, especially to allow myself to, you know, take on having foster kids or take on doing more volunteer work in the animal welfare field, which I do now several days a week, and I have a six-year-old sitting in my living room right now, to free up time for that, I had to find a way to limit and then price correctly the work that I do with my cowboys, because I love them. I didn't want to give them up. But the truth was that there wasn't enough space for me to evolve the business and take on more than one of them at any given time. And now they're some of my highest paying clients, and I love working with them, but I've had the boundaries and I keep the quantity of them low enough now that that work is still fun and not as draining. I hope that helps a little bit, Michelle, let me know. So let's see. Yes, great, okay. Looking at some of the other questions. Susan, your four things, online courses, attracting extracted PNG images, wildlife book photos, travel photo workshops. I love it. So these are the things that your clients are asking for, right? And now I'd go back through that list and each of you take a few minutes to answer the question, what are the things that you've had on your wish list for a year plus? And maybe this is, if you've just started your business, maybe this is the thing that you had in mind for 2 years from now. Maybe this is the dream that you envisioned for 2 years, like, wow, if I could just get paid to do this thing, I would love it. Take a few minutes and write that down. And then I like to kind of sit and think on things. As I said, I'm a planner. Some other people like to dive in and brainstorm right away. I typically take that list and I'll sleep on it for a day and then come back tomorrow and do mapping of what are the intersections between the two. Because most likely that's going to be the big project that catapults you forward in the evolution of your business during this time. Yes, you need to get the day-to-day out of the way. You need to make sure that your finances are stable enough to get you through. But what's really going to dynamically shift and evolve your business is this big thinking. And that's what we're here to help you do. As I said, Nick and I are here every single week, whether it's through the workshop hours, the office hours, or these Q&As, or the implementation days. April 9th is the next one. We're here to help you think about these big questions and move and evolve your business forward. And happy to talk about anything else there. We're running out of time, but I do want to call out a few resources on LinkedIn. First off, are there any LinkedIn questions that someone came here and was like, I really need this answer today? Write it in the Q&A, speak up now. I love LinkedIn, and I'm just gonna do a little bit of a PSA here, because LinkedIn, no matter what area of the pet industry you're in, LinkedIn is probably an amazing channel for you right now. And the reason is this: as I mentioned before, we are all influencers. And we all have our specific areas of expertise, but we all also have our audiences. You know, we have the people that we influence. We have the people that we can reach out to easily and help them know how to solve other problems. So one of the reasons why I love, and sorry, my kitty is having an asthma attack right next to me. Oh, buddy. That's Trooper for many of you who have heard and watched and seen him before. But he's asthmatic and he has attacks. But one of the ways that you can really come together and help cut your own cost is by recognizing what are the complementary businesses in this industry that can help you grow your audience. If you're a local business, if you're typically face-to-face, I would look locally. What are the local businesses who have abutting edges to what you do? That maybe things that you don't want to do, maybe things that you hate to do, but can you find an expert who's really good at it? And chances are they hate doing what you do too, but they might need people like you. So can you network with them? Well, right now you can't go to mixers. You can't go to the dog park. You have to find them online. And the best place to find them online is LinkedIn. People don't realize that 1 in 10 people on LinkedIn are the decision maker of the business. So whatever kind of business you want, whatever it is, they're the decision maker. And LinkedIn actually has a conversion rate that I think is 3 times higher. Don't quote me on that. It's in the data for this month if you look at the workbook, but it has conversion rates that are 3 times higher than any other social channel. So definitely give it a thought and think about how do you create those complementary services, perhaps create packages together that help solve problems for the pet parent. One of the trends that we've been seeing in the pet space for 5+ years now is that the pet parent wants things simple, and they don't want to have to go to all these different people and places and things to have their problems solved. They want one-stop shopping. They want one-stop solutions. So if you can provide that for them by creating partnerships with other organizations, with other professionals, and by then sharing your voice and sharing each other's audience with each other, you're going to be one step ahead of the big guys. Any questions about that? Looks like we're good. So I'm just going to call out and share my screen. And show you. So if you haven't checked it out yet, we have Taking LinkedIn from Paused to Pro is our new workbook this month. And here we show you how to make sure LinkedIn is the right channel to be spending your time on right now. Things like why you might want to be considering LinkedIn, which I talked about a little bit. How to set up your profile to really make it stellar. And then also to help it help the LinkedIn algorithm, which is what's really, really where the magic is with LinkedIn. If you can become friends with the LinkedIn algorithm, LinkedIn is one of the only social channels that still remains where there is a lot of organic juice, where you're not having to do pay for play. So I don't think anyone here, unless you're telling me that you're hitting the limits of LinkedIn, paying for LinkedIn Pro is probably not a good investment right now, but I would absolutely dive in, make sure that your profile is optimized. Think about who do you want to identify, and we bring you through these exercises, and think about how to create your sales funnel and what kinds of content, what kinds of things to get out there, how you want to be perceived as an expert, whether you're trying to attract a new customer or whether you're trying to attract a potential professional relationship where you're going to help each other in the future. Okay. Everyone, that is a lot of information. I'm so glad to see all the new members here. And as you can see, we're pretty casual here. We're here for you no matter what. Definitely tune into office hours, workshop hour, and the next Q&A next month. I think you're gonna be really excited about the topic next month. I'm not gonna preview it yet, but it is all about working and getting down to business during this time. So unless there are any last questions, I see Jane raised a hand. Go for it, Jane.
Thank you. You know, you talked about this collaboration with other businesses. I'm somebody that really loves collaborating, and I've had some ideas of how to collaborate with my business. I just wanted to share this with everyone. I'm going to start doing a Zoom once a week, posting it on my social media and inviting other folks to come in and talk about, share some kind of piece of expertise, or, you know, I'm going to have a vet come on and a dog trainer come on, and just as a way to kind of grassroots collaborate with other businesses at this point, given where I am in my business. I have some other ideas and goals for later on down the road, but I'm trying not to bite off more than I can chew. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. That's a really easy thing to do.
Great, great. Well, absolutely. Doing a Zoom chat, are you inviting folks to maybe apply to be on the Zoom chat with you?
Sure, if anyone's interested. Sorry, I had to unmute. I re-unmute myself. If anyone's interested and they have something that they want to share, absolutely. I'm going to do it once a week. I'm going to start the series. I've got about 3 or 4 people lined up, but if you're interested, yeah, well, I'm going to see how it goes. And if there's a lot of interest, I'm going to continue it.
Fantastic. And some other low-hanging fruit, whether you're looking at local or national partners, looking at local or national cross-promotions, take advantage of other people who are in this industry and share links with each other. Write a blog post and link out to someone else who's done a great blog post about something similar in the pet space. Let them know when you publish yours and ask them to link back to you. Whatever it may be, or go to the Working with Dog Facebook group and say, hey guys, I'm looking for other people who have websites about this and who are interested in sharing information about that. Talk to each other, cross-linking to each other when you both have quality websites and you're excited about sharing what each of you do can help you with Google and help you really get in front of more people organically through search engines. So that's one of the easiest things you can do. And getting those inbound links is one of the hardest parts of SEO, which as many of you will learn, I talk about a lot here at Working with Dog because it is so, so important for growing your business long-term. So definitely shout out if you guys are looking at or looking for ways to cross-link to each other. I think maybe we'll even have a challenge on that in the future. We'll see. But thank you, Jane, for that opportunity and for showing that it's an easy thing for people to do. People do not have to overthink these things. And as you probably all know, Nick has taken her own 30-day challenge of doing daily pirate radio, where she's doing a daily show that's live every single day for the next 30 days. And that is definitely not hard to do or highly produced, but is a kind of a big and scary thing to do. So tune in. She's sharing some great resources there. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you guys. Thank you, Jocelyn, Chantal, Deb, everyone. Great to see you. Welcome to the new members. Shout out if you have any questions, shoot questions in the Facebook group if you're not sure how to access things. And I will share those resources that I mentioned in the Facebook group after this call. Thanks all. Bye.
Bye-bye.